Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm so glad you are back with me today. I am back with my good friend, Israel Wayne. And you might remember his wife, Brooke, was on with us a few weeks ago when she talked about parenting and about just how to control your emotions and temper and all that stuff. And she was amazing. I love talking with Brooke, and they are just such a lovely family who loves Jesus. And one of the things I love about the Wayne family, about Brooke and Israel specifically together as a couple, who, by the way, you guys just had your 25th wedding anniversary, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that's so cool. Congratulations. Happy anniversary to you guys. Yeah, we are on this total rabbit trail. We just hit 29 years by God's grace. And so this upcoming, next year will be our 30th anniversary. You know, what I was going to say about you and Brooke is the thing that I love about you and that we pray for our girls all the time is that we pray that whoever the Lord has chosen for them as husbands, you know, assuming that the Lord has plans for them to marry someday, that they will be able to serve God's kingdom better together with their husbands than they could alone. And I see that in you and Brooke, that you have just been so faithful to serve God's kingdom together as a married couple and as a family. And I love that you are being used that way. You know, she is such a great support. She's like the perfect wife for you, Israel. She is amazing.
She is the perfect wife, for sure.
And she is just such a delight. And so thank you for your ministry. Thank you for what you guys do. And I know you travel a lot and you speak a lot, and she holds down the fort with your 11 kids. And so praise God for her and praise God for your ministry. But anyway, we're going to get back into talking about Israel's new book, Foundational Truths. It's a modern catechism. And this book is fantastic, you guys. We're going through it as a family, and it is just such a good book. So we're going to dig a little bit more deeply into the actual catechism today. But before we do, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a great homeschool curriculum that is for any age, any grade, any subject, they've got something for you. BJUPressHomeschool.com is where you can find everything that they have to offer. They will help you develop a really strong biblical worldview in your children. And that is really what it's all about. What is your biblical worldview? What is your worldview? Is it a biblical worldview? And if you're not sure how to do that, BJU Press will help you on your homeschool journey, and they will help you to succeed in doing that. So check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com. Israel, welcome back to the podcast. Let's talk a little bit more about the book. And I want to read a scripture. I mean, I've read this several times on the podcast. This is my favorite verse in the whole Bible. I absolutely love it. And I will continue to remind myself, I will continue to remind our guests about it, but it's Ecclesiastes 12:13, and it says this: "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." And that's it. Fear God, keep his commandments. It's the whole duty of man. It's all that matters, is that we love Jesus, that we fear him, that we know him, that we obey him. And so this resource, this book that you've written, really does help us to do that. Now, all we need is the word of God. But I love that there's a resource that will help us point to God's truths and to be able to ask heart-probing questions to ourselves and to our kids. Because as you mentioned and talked about in Monday's episode, it is a catechism is about asking questions and having the answers to those questions. So as I'm looking through the table of contents in here, some of the questions, just so you guys know, because you might be like, well, what kinds of questions do you ask? Why is the sky blue? No, no. These are questions that will get you thinking about scripture and about the Lord. And so, the first question is, how can we know there is a God? And so Israel goes through, how do we know there's a God? And there's an answer. And then there's scripture that backs that up. And there's discussion questions. And it will kind of lead you through how to answer that with your kids. And memorizing some of these scriptures is so helpful and fantastic. Some of the other questions is, who made God? Who is God? How can God be one yet three persons? I mean, if that's a question that you've never asked yourself, well, then try to figure that one out, right? What does God know? Are there more gods than one? Who created everything? And it goes on and on. And there are 52, right? You said 52 questions.
Yes, one for every week of the year.
Yeah. The question I want to park on, though, for just a little bit is, it's question 11, and it's, what is our primary purpose for living? And as I just read in Ecclesiastes, we know that our primary purpose is, you know, to fear God and keep his commands. But let's walk through it as you have it in the book. What is our primary purpose for living? Why are we here? Why are we doing this thing called life?
So first of all, want to explain that my goal was to compile scriptures topically and to create a resource that allows parents or church leaders to very quickly address a Bible doctrine question with all of the scripture references, like right there in the resource and indexed kind of right beside it. So we're pointing people to the Word of God as the answer to these questions, not to my opinion or someone else's opinion, because frankly, human opinion really isn't very valuable. The Word of God is the only thing that is authoritative and that we can trust. So as much as possible, we've sought to actually answer the questions with phrases from these verses so that we're actually repeating the Word of God itself as the answer to our questions. So in this particular one, we answer the question, we exist to know God, John 17:3, to love him, Luke 10:27, to find delight in him, Psalm 37:4, to worship him, Psalm 96:9, to glorify him, 1 Corinthians 6:20, and to use our lives to love and serve others, Mark 12:31 and Galatians 5:14. And then we list all of these verses next to the question and answer. Mm-hmm. So each one of those segments is actually a phrase from the scripture itself. Mm-hmm. And then we reference the entire verse on the next page so that parents can very quickly and easily be able to point their children to where the Word of God backs up the statements that are being made. So rather than, I think on this particular one, we have eight passages that are being utilized. Rather than having to memorize all eight of those, although that could be a really good thing to do, and a lot of families are doing that, just memorizing like all eight of the verses that go along with this one question, we've sort of condensed them from drawing from each and kind of making a nutshell statement based on all these passages. So that's kind of how a catechism works. What makes our catechism a little bit different is that we actually are putting the scripture references right there in the catechism. Yeah. So some catechisms, like there's another catechism I looked at that's also contemporary, but they give one verse of support for each question. And personally, I didn't like that. I thought, there's just so much that the scripture says to answer these questions. And if I'm going to answer the question, what's the primary purpose for living? That's a huge question.
Right.
I don't want to base it off of just one verse because there's so many passages that talk about that. And then we actually write the entire verses out. There are a few older catechisms where they'll just put the verse for you to look it up. But we actually printed the verses in the book itself. So it's just right there for ease of use.
Yeah. I want to go a little bit further into what comes next after that. But one of the things is that I know you've used the King James Version for the verses that you've actually printed in the book. Why did you choose to use King James?
So one of the things that you'll see on the cover of the book is we call this a modern catechism. Uh-huh. And so some people have questioned, well, why do you use the King James Version printed, those verses printed in the book, in the King James Version? And really, a lot of it is logistical because the King James Version is in the public domain. Mm-hmm. So you can utilize it without having to contract with a publisher.
Right.
But any other modern contemporary English version, we would have to have a special contractual licensing agreement with that publishing house and then pay royalties for every copy that sells to that. And it just becomes a big record keeping nightmare.
Sure.
And then also any version that we picked, someone would say, oh, well, that's not my favorite translation. Why didn't you use this other translation? And so, because it's probably the best known, the most universally utilized, even still today, we went with the King James Version. And for families who decided that they wanted to use a different translation, then they can very easily utilize whichever translation they want to use in their own home or their own church. But for ease of use with publication, we went with the one that is probably the best known and is in the public domain and that we don't have to have contractual licensing royalty agreements with those publishing companies. So that really was the main focus or reason for choosing the King James Version.
Yeah. One of the things I think that's really cool about that is because you have all of the scripture listed, this is a really, really great way for you to bring your kids around you when you're doing your family devotions, have them have their Bibles with them in their hands, and then have them look up the scriptures. And then they're learning how to look up, you know, book and reference. And that really does teach them. I remember Garrett talked about when he was a little kid, they used to do Bible drills. And I never did that as a kid, but, you know, I think they did it in Awana or something like that. And it was, you know, okay, who can find Matthew 13 the quickest? And like, you know, the kids would get all excited because then it's competition, you know, who can find it the fastest? And so you can make it into it, you know, a game for your kids. And that really does encourage your kids, and it teaches them to look at scripture and to know how to look up scripture and find what it is that they're looking for. And then have them read from that version if they're able to read, you know, if they're old enough to do that. But this is a great way for our kids to be able to learn how to dig into scripture and find what it is that they're looking for. So we're going to continue on with this conversation, but first we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Have you tried CTC Math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC Math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC Math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Israel. Okay, so we talked about question 11, what is our primary purpose for living? And the answer is we exist to know God, to love Him, to find delight in Him, to worship Him, to glorify Him, and to use our lives to love and serve others. And I mean, there's not a better answer for that. You know, people often ask, and I feel like you don't hear this so much anymore, but remember back in the day, people would say, you know, I'm trying to find myself. And it was always like, what is the meaning of life? That was the question that people would ask. What is the meaning of life? And I think people still ask that. And whether they ask it out loud or internally, every one of us as a human has this desire to know why we're here. Like, what's the purpose of us even walking this earth? Why did God make me? And so this helps guide us into understanding what our purpose is. And you guys have heard me say this a million times. I've told my girls since they were born that God created them on purpose for a purpose. And so each one of us has a purpose in this life. And so that's why I chose that question. Because I was like, that's my favorite one of all the 52 questions. That's my favorite one. Take us a little bit deeper into, as we are reading this with our families, we'll read through the question, we'll read through the answer, and then there's all the scripture that goes along with it, helping our kids to understand where to find these answers in God's word. And then it takes us in the next section into action and definitions. Can you walk us through that?
One of the things that the publisher especially wanted, and they want that with really all of their resources, is to not have it be merely informational, mm-hmm. but to have application. So that we're not hearers of the word only, deceiving ourselves, as James talks about, but we want to put into practice what we've heard. And so in response to what we've just learned, they have this inaction. And so they give some helpful practical suggestions. And some of these things, you know, may not work real well based on the age appropriateness, but like on this one, it says, this week, reach out to someone in your community or circle of friends and offer help or support without expecting anything in return. Mm. Could be as simple as checking in on them or offering assistance with a task or just providing a listening ear. You might also volunteer your time and skills at a local charity, church, or organization that serves those in need. And so it gives an opportunity to be able to apply your faith. Like part of our purpose is to love and serve other people. Mm-hmm. And so then there's a definition of certain terms that we find in the verses. So things like commandment, glorify, holiness. We give short one paragraph definitions of each of these terms to help especially younger children, but also new believers to come to learn what these terms mean. And then each lesson closes with a prayer. And it's just a prayer that you can pray out loud as a family or that a parent can lead in. And it's just a way of turning our hearts back to God in thankfulness and appreciation for who he is and for his word and his work in our life.
Yeah. You talk about new believers, and this is really, I hadn't thought about that before, but this really is a resource that would be amazing for any new believer. And it's not written, I mean, it doesn't look like a children's book.
I specifically asked the publisher when they were developing it, I said, please make sure that the layout and the graphics are not childish.
Yeah.
Because we wanted this to be primarily for families, for family worship, family devotions, as something a family sits in the living room and utilizes. That was our target audience. That's the bullseye, if you will.
Yeah.
But realizing that churches have used catechisms for hundreds of years. And honestly, I even had thoughts about like the local church that I'm a part of has a jail ministry. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of baby Christians in the jail who have come to know Christ through the evangelism and outreach ministry of the church, and they know nothing about Bible doctrine.
Right.
And so I thought this would be a wonderful resource for like jail ministry, prison ministry, even some ministries that we know that work with senior citizens in retirement homes, that this kind of resource can go anywhere and just teaches the basics of Christianity. Not from a denominational standpoint, not from a biased theological viewpoint, not from a person's opinion,
right,
but with the actual words of scripture and just pointing them back to the word of God and just compiling the scriptures and then utilizing that in a kind of compressed way with the answers that are drawn from the scripture itself.
Yeah. I could even see this as a really great resource for youth pastors or Sunday school teachers to use with their kids, not to replace God's word again, because I am a firm believer that anybody who's teaching, who's in a teaching role over anybody, you know, whether it's a Sunday morning pastor or a Wednesday night youth pastor or a Sunday morning Sunday school teacher, they should be teaching through the word of God. But this is a great way to supplement the teaching of God's word and getting these kids to think, because you have to ask questions. We've talked about that so many times on the podcast, is asking those questions that make people think. I feel like I'm still learning to do that with my kids, you know, asking questions instead of just preaching to them and at them, getting them to actually think through it.
Yeah, and it really is a topical compilation of scriptures that are applied to these specific questions of Bible doctrine.
Yeah.
And so it's, again, it's not just a person's opinion, but even the answers that are given are like synopsis, that they're drawn as much as possible word for word.
Right.
From the actual words in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, obviously sometimes we have to have a filler word or something in there, but for the most part, we wanted to actually just use phrases that are from the scripture itself in the answers that are given, so that it's not my opinion or your opinion. It's like, this is what God himself said is the answer to these questions.
Right, right. Okay, so sit down with us, Israel. You're sitting down in our living room and we're about to do our family devotions. What might that look like? And I know it looks different for every family, but what does it look like for your family? And I know you've been part of other families who have done that. You know, I'm thinking of the LaPierres, they're mutual friends of your family and our family. And we've been in their home before where we've done family devotions together. And it was so fun and interesting to see how differently they do theirs, but it all always comes back to the word of God. What might this look like in a family setting?
Well, the one thing that I would like to highlight is that family devotions, family worship time really needs to be as unique and distinct as every single family. And it just like homeschooling looks different for every family, family worship time should look different as well. So sometimes people will write to me and they want like a formula or like, give me the rules,
right.
You know, tell me the instructions of exactly how to use this. Well, I don't want to tell you how to homeschool, and I don't want to tell you how to do family devotions. The most important thing is that you do it, right?
Yeah.
How you do it, that can be as flexible as your family. I just heard from a family this week who actually is putting every one of these questions to song. And
so
they're writing music and singing the questions and answers together as a family. I thought that was tremendously creative.
Yeah, that's fine.
There are some families who are memorizing the questions and answers so that when they ask the question, the child can repeat an answer that they've memorized. So if the question is, who is God, or what is my purpose for life, or, you know, did Jesus sin during his life on earth? They can give an answer that they've memorized for that. That can be very powerful. Some are focused more not on memorizing the answers, but on trying to memorize the scriptures that go along with it. And so you really have all week that you can spend on one question if you want to. And I see this as being a supplement to your family devotion time, not a replacement for it. So for our family, we probably wouldn't be doing this, you know, by itself, although that's fine if you want to. But we probably would, you know, insert this as part of our overall family worship time. And like you said, having the children look up the verses, I think, is a really important thing so that they learn how to find the verses. And also the participation keeps them engaged. It keeps them more interested. And so, but then again, asking the questions in the inaction part. Okay, so now what do we do with this?
Yeah.
So now that we understand this truth, how do we apply it to our lives? How do we actually put it into practice so that we don't just get fat minds that we never put into practice, but how do we apply the Word of God in our daily lives?
Yeah, yeah, such good stuff as we're raising our kids. And I know that they're going to come across so many questions and challenges to their faith. And so I think memorizing, obviously memorizing scripture, but also memorizing those questions and answers can be so helpful. You know, you think of a kid who might be sitting in a college classroom and being challenged by their professor. Unfortunately, oftentimes even in a quote unquote Christian college or Christian university, but definitely in a lot of secular universities where they're going to be challenged with some of these very questions of, is God really real? Well, how do you know God's real? Who created God? You know, and for them to be able to have those answers ready. And this is, and I love that you call it foundational truths, because this is really what this is. It's setting the foundation for their faith. It's helping our kids to understand what they believe and why they believe it according to scripture. And so it is such a great resource. And I'm so grateful for all the work and prayer and time that you've put into it. We're going to keep talking about these things, but we are out of time. So one more time, Israel, tell people where they can find out more about you and your ministry.
You can order our resources at familyrenewal.org/store. And if you order from our web store, you will get a personally signed copy. So that's something exclusive that we offer. And we would love to have you connect on social media. Just look up Israel Wayne. If you're interested in having me speak at an event, go to israelwayne.com. So familyrenewal.org and purchase the materials.
Yeah. And let me encourage you guys, when you purchase materials directly from Israel, from his ministry, he gets a much bigger cut. You're going to pay the same price, but he gets a much bigger cut of the sales that goes back to help support his ministry. And so you're not just supporting the book, but you're supporting his ministry as well. And, you know, like our family, Israel and his wife are in full-time ministry, and this is what feeds their family and keeps their ministry going. And so I just want to encourage you guys to do that directly through his website instead of going to Amazon, because I know you have strong feelings about Amazon, Israel. They have everything that they need. They're feeding their families just fine.
They're doing just fine.
But yeah, check out, we'll put all the links. So check out the links in the show notes to make it easy for you guys. Stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next on the podcast. We're going to continue this conversation with Israel. And thank you guys so much for your continued support of the Schoolhouse Rocked ministry as well. We are so grateful for those of you who continue to support us financially. We are always blown away by God's good provision. Also check out our sponsors. I mean, we are so thankful for those who have sponsored this podcast, because without them and without you, we would not be doing what we do. So you can support us financially. Go to our website, schoolhouserocked.com, where you can also watch the movie, which Israel is part of. He is in the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. He has a really important part in there. So if you've not yet seen the movie, check it out at our website, schoolhouserocked.com. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you back here tomorrow. Bye.
It used to be that if you wanted to become a church member, either as a child or as a new believer who comes into a church, they would take you through a series of catechism classes. And you would go through all the catechisms, and then after questions and answers, and then after you've been able to answer each one of these questions and affirm each one of these questions according to scripture and to give a biblical answer for these different doctrinal viewpoints, they would have a confirmation class where they would seek to make sure that your profession of faith aligned with Christianity. So if in the confirmation class they ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? And you say, no, I think he was a good person. I think he was a good teacher, but I don't believe he was the Son of God. They would not admit you into church membership.
Yeah, wow.
In some churches today, we've gotten so loose with this that you can just say, who here wants to be a member? And so you sign up and you become a member.
Right.
And there's not a process. And so some of these practices that churches used to implement years ago still have some value. And I think we would do well to bring some of these things back.